This is host Raymond Posh. No new episodes are being added under Our Spiritual Life, but all 108 episodes will remain accessible. My new episodes are all being published under my New Ways of Being podcast. You can learn about me and New Ways of Being at RaymondPosh.com. Well, to my listeners of Our Spiritual Life, we have another fantastic show lined up for today. I am very pleased to tell you that my guest is Brian Berneman. He lives in New Zealand, and he does some fantastic things. I think I could say a lot about him, but he summarized it in a slightly different way than I expected, and that is, he's a well-being and conscious living expert. And I think that is so important these days, learning to live more consciously. I would say the whole world depends on that. But Brian helps people discover a different way of living and being, and sharing simple practices to unlock conditional tendencies and live in the present. I love that. So Brian, welcome.
Thank you so much, Raymond, for having me here for this space, and for I know that it's going to be a really beautiful conversation.
Yes, it will be. You know, and of course, I always start by asking my guests to tell your own story first. You know, what was significant in your life, what brought you up to the present moment, and a bit about what you're doing now. So go ahead.
Beautiful. Thank you. You know, I'm going to give you a little bit of a short version instead of almost 40 years.
Okay.
but some of the main things that I think are important is, one is that I was born in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. I was really fortunate to grow up in the family that I grew up in, with wonderful parents that, when I was a kid, they started to go on their own path of discovering themselves and spirituality. And that led that little by little, by my teenage years, that was starting to be more present in the house. And by that time, I started to notice how stressed I was, and how much anxiety I had. And by the time that I was starting to drive at 16, I realized that not only I was stressed out, I had a lot of anger. So I was, you know, like road rage every time that I was driving.
Sounds like a 16-year-old, yeah?
Yes. And, you know, I was like, I wasn't that typical kid, but I think that I was, up until that moment, more or less doing most regular things that teenage boys do, playing sports and watching TV and stuff like that. But I was starting to read some of the books that my parents would recommend, you know, with different traditions that wasn't what I grew up with back in Argentina, you know, some Buddhist teachings, yoga, meditation. And so I started to actually go and take those classes. By the time that I was 16, I was really, you know, every time that my parents said to me and my siblings, do you want to come and try this out? For some reason, I said yes. My siblings didn't, but I did. And I found like a lot of things in there. I found, in a sense, my own path. I found a way of reconnecting with my being. And one of the things, there were two special things that happened, at least for me, that were big catalysts for my changes. One was the first time that I went to a Tibetan yoga class, which is not a well-known style of yoga, right, or a type of movement practice. And when I was taking that class, it was the first time that I actually felt my body. I thought up until that moment that I knew how to feel my body. I realized that I didn't. I realized that up until that moment, I was just living in my head, and I had no idea what was actually happening from the neck down.
Wow.
And And that was a big catalyst because not only it gave me an understanding on the power of my body and the wisdom that it carries, but as well a lot of the tension that I was carrying, the stress that I was storing, and a lot of the trauma and blockages that I had there. And the other one that was a big catalyst was the first time that I went to a Reiki healing session. And when I went there, I was like, oh, wow, this was amazing. And I asked the person that ended up becoming my teacher if he would teach me, because I was starting to, as I was experiencing all of this with my body, I was starting to experience something that I couldn't explain, some energy that I was, you know, playing with that I couldn't understand. And when I went and I did this healing, I was like, oh, I think that this is it. So then I asked him, you know, like if he would be able to teach me. And he said yes, and he actually said that he was going to gift it to me because he had a connection with his guides, and that his guides told him that I was going to help a lot of people in the future, so that it was his gift to me. And
wow,
those two things were, you know, like were big catalysts, because I was like, oh wow, this is, you know, like something that it was really on my path. And And I started to practice that and to read more books about Buddhism and about different traditions, you know, like Aboriginal people from different places around the world, and started to do a lot of meditation and a lot of energy work. And I started to work with more with my mind, my body, my spirit, energy. And that started to lead to, you know, like in parallel to everything else that I was doing, that was starting to change how I was behaving and who I was in a sense. Because one of the things that I realized, you know, as I mentioned, that I was having road rage when I was driving. And for those that have driven in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, you know, like that is a lot of traffic in there.
Yeah.
And I noticed one day after, I think that it was 2 weeks after I started practicing this form of Tibetan yoga, that I didn't react. Like someone cut me off. And instead of reacting and shouting and giving them the finger, I was like, oh, that happened. And that was like an inner thought after that came, that I was like, where does this come from? You know,
yeah.
why am I not reacting
yeah.
in some way? And I realized that what I was doing, you know, in those practices, started to actually come into my daily life without me consciously trying to do it. And then I started to consciously try to do that. Then I started to aim to not only practice when I was, you know, on the mat or when I was meditating in my room, but also in everyday life. How could I bring those spaces of presence and connection with myself into everyday life? And little by little, that led to more and more and more. And then as I was studying as well at university, I did my postgrad in neuroscience, which gave me a great understanding as well on what was going on, you know, from a mind perspective and more of a Western scientific perspective. And then I decided to leave home. I was 22, I bought a one-way ticket to New York, and I was like, I'm going off to explore what's going on in the world and getting out of my comfort zone in a sense. And that led me to live in a few different places between the US and Europe. And I eventually moved to California, and I lived in a Tibetan Buddhist retreat center in the middle of a mountain for a few years. Which was huge to be able to really embody all of these things that I had been learning through the years, and to understand as well how to work differently, how to approach life differently, not only the teachings and the practices, as I was saying, everyday life, you know, and how can I actually be more present when I am, as an example, here talking with you. How can I be present as I am working? How can I use work as the arena for my development? And
so,
those things were huge.
Yeah, so that kind of builds up to, at some point you decided to do this conscious action that you're doing now, a service and podcast. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so after some years over there in California, due to my work visa not being renewed from one day to the next, I had to leave. And I, synchronistically, I ended up in New Zealand. And after a while of being able to sort out my work visa conditions, I decided with a friend to start Conscious Action, which was, in a sense, a way of creating a community and a space that we could explore with people how to live more consciously. And that is focusing on the well-being of people individually, of our collective, and on the planet. And that is, for me, when we understand the interconnectedness of things, everything matters. How we behave internally, how we're relating to others, and how we're relating to our environment. And to understand as well that we need a lot of times to meet with people that can both think alike, be, in a sense, looking for the same ways of living, and as well that can challenge us, that can share something with us that we can learn from, that can give us a new perspective. And then understanding, and this has been one of the keys throughout all of these years that I have been working with this project, that is, how do we actually do that? Because it's all like, one of the things that I tell everyone is, we all know the things that we should be eating, how much exercise we should be doing, how much we should be watching TV or surfing the internet or using our devices. We all know the things that are supportive of our well-being and the things that are not. Yet, how come are we not doing the things that are good for us? And this is one of the things that I always focus on. I always tell people, not only we need to raise awareness, we need to take conscious action. And that is why it's called conscious action.
Beautiful name. Beautiful story. I love what you've told us about your life and what brought you to where you're at right now. And I'm writing a note here that I don't want to forget here. Awareness plus action. Very important, yes. And that was a great story that you told about yourself getting into a moment of road rage. Somebody cut you off, and you had a sudden awareness that made you stop and question what you were doing. That's so important because most cases of road rage, that doesn't happen, then somebody gets hurt. And but yeah, you're doing some great work. I love what you're doing, and that gives us a lot to talk about. Now, before I get into this string of conversation that I know we're going to get into, I do want to ask about your neuroscience background. Tell us a little bit more about that. How do you define neuroscience?
Yeah, I really love the fact that I was able to understand what's happening in our mind. Like when the work of science that we have now with neuroscience, especially, what I feel like it's doing, it's actually being able to prove scientifically a lot of the things that a lot of the wisdom traditions have been sharing, but now there's proof. Now there's proof that when we actually do certain practices like meditation, mindfulness practices, or even other presencing practices, what is happening in the brain, how it's creating new neural pathways. And one of the things that I tell, because I teach here in New Zealand at university, and I tell a lot of times to my students, when we understand that our brain has the capacity to be plastic, which means that we can create all of the time new neural pathways. We can create, whilst we do that, we are creating new habit patterns, we are creating new tendencies, we are creating new ways of being. When we understand that that is possible, that opens us up to actually be able to do something. Because if we believe, like I think that it was like some time ago, that things are fixed, this is just how it is, the neurons that you don't use, they are pointless there, and only the ones that are firing you're going to use. If we believe that things are fixed, there's no openness for changing, which means that then we're not going to try and do anything. But when we understand that when the electricity that fires in the brain, in the neurons, can find a new neuron, if we are doing things differently, then that means that we are malleable. And when we are that, then our entire life can change, because it doesn't matter what has been, it matters what we decide to do from this moment on. Now, that doesn't mean that things will happen like that all of the time, but it means that there's a potential for change. There's a potential to understand that the neurons are going to be there and are going to be there for us and are going to be just like when someone goes and does exercise. When we actually exercise our brain, when we use our mind in a conscious way, we can create those changes. We can create a new neural pathway. When we do that, we change our entire being. We change how we are, just like as I did that example, you know, I change something that changed my reaction. I change from reacting to responding. And that is by creating a new pathway in the brain. That is also a new pathway in the body. But just from a brain perspective, that is the possibility that we have. And I love that. I love the fact that we are able to do that. And the more that we understand that, for some people especially, that, you know, we are potentially more logical and we wouldn't be open to some esoteric teachings or things that haven't been proven scientifically, then by understanding this language of neuroscience, by understanding what's going on there, I know that I'm able to relate with a lot of people that I wouldn't be able to if I was just talking about things from more of the wisdom traditions and no proven modern scientific methods.
Okay. Thank you. I want to ask another question, and then I'm going to we're going to get into the whole business of conscious action. But and the question is, are you familiar with an organization called Humanities Team?
Humanities Team. I have heard of them, but I'm not that familiar.
Okay. It's a fairly large organization. It has hundreds of thousands of members worldwide. It's called Humanities Team, and their website is humanitiesteam.org. But what is significant to this conversation is that they are very much focused on helping in any way that they can humanity as a whole, and, you know, and individually, to become more conscious, to live more consciously, and to change, you know, to help us evolve our consciousness for the benefit of the world. So it's very much in line with what you're doing, and that's why I mention it. And they have an initiative called Changing Humanity's Future, and they talk about living consciously a lot. So that brings me to the next question, and that is, so give us your perspective of how to live consciously. I think this is so important. It is, I found that it is not exactly something that's easy to define. You know, I know what it means to me, and it may mean something very different to you and to Joe and to everyone else. But yeah, tell us about your view of living consciously.
Yeah, you know, Ray, you're completely right. This looks very differently for all of us. For me, one of the key things to be able to live consciously is, one, being present. When we are present and aware, then we understand the interconnectedness that we have, which is the point two. When we understand our interconnectedness with everything, and we're able to be present, then we're able to understand that what we do and how we are actually matters. When I'm saying how we are, that means what's going on internally. You know, the energy that we are vibrating at, the frequency that we are vibrating into the world. We are energy beings as well.
Right.
So we are creating an electromagnetical field as well. So how we are being has an effect on what's going on around us and the people around us. The type of thoughts that we're having has an impact on our experience, and not only the inner experience, but the outer experience. How we relate to things and the actions that we take, and this is more of the outward experience, when we're able to be more conscious of the interconnectedness of things, then we start to change our behavior. So as an example, with my life, I grew up in a more consumeristic society. I didn't know about things because I wasn't taught, you know, like,
right.
How are things made? Who makes them? What are the conditions that people are actually making the things that I was purchasing? Where, you know, like, what are the things that are putting in the food that I'm eating? Where is that coming from? You know, like, I grew up and, you know, food comes from the supermarket. That's what
right.
I knew. Yeah. And so when we grew up in that, and we're able to suddenly, as I started to connect more, I started to connect more with nature, which I didn't in the past because I grew up in a concrete city.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started to connect to nature, I was like, oh, you know, what's going on with this? How is this actually happening? How are all of these resources actually taken? Or how are we actually doing this in a more ethical, sustainable, regenerative way? And this is where my outward behavior started to shift a lot. And this is one of the things that I see with living consciously, that if we are behaving in ways that are destructive to our environment, to our Mother Earth, then of course we're going to have issues, because if our space, our environment is not doing well, and the people that are living alongside us, they are not doing well, how can I be well? When we understand that, a lot of the behaviors starts to shift. So living consciously for me is both an inner experience and an outer experience as well. And in a sense, there's no difference of the inner
right.
and outer, but
right.
mostly we do experience it like that. So I talk a lot about that. To be able to live consciously, we need to be aware, we need to be present, and we need to understand the interconnectedness of things and the impact that we have and the impact that everyone has, you know, for good and bad.
Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you. That is not a 5-minute explanation, but I don't think a 5-minute explanation is totally possible. I mean, I could say some words like that of being more aware of our interaction with the world and living in alignment. That might be short, but that still is limited as well. But I love one thing that you've brought up repeatedly, and it's so important, and that is how we are so connected to everything, and how everything is so connected. Many people, I think, have a very simplistic view of their place in the world and how they interact, but it's, you know, it's much more than that, and it is much more interconnected than most people realize. So I think that's an important point. So, wow.
and you know, Ray, one of the things with that as well, and this has been part of my path and part of my journey of understanding, that we're not only connected with that which we can see, we're connected to that which we cannot see. There's so much that I would call invisible to our eyes or to most of our senses that is still having a huge impact on us. This is what I was talking about, you know, like the electromagnetic field that we have. There's a lot. We, you know, I work a lot with, as well, with trauma and with healing a lot of energies. from what came before and those who came before us, our ancestors, you know, those things get like they get passed down through the generations. Even though we might not know someone, if someone experienced, for example, some trauma in a war, perhaps 100 years ago, that might still have an impact on me, even mm-hmm. though I don't know that person.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things that as well we need to understand how connected we are to everything and how things have an impact on us. And this is why a lot of times, you know, on living consciously, for me, a lot is not only about being able to live more present, it's about also understanding what we are bringing, you know, like the luggage that we're taking from the past and our experience as child, as like as children as well. All of that, mostly, we are carrying it as a huge backpack. So for me, we need to do a lot of healing work to be able to understand how to return to that place of wholeness that is inherent in us. And that's how right. we can tap into that presence that we are.
Right. Yes, again, if we just stopped and analyze what you said for the last minute or two, there's actually a lot to unpack in what you just said. You know, one of the things that I talk about quite often is we come from and operate from ego so much, and I'm using that word in a spiritual term really, but and people don't really stop to understand that. You know, I talk about we come from a belief about separation, that we're obviously physically separate from every other person, and it takes some digging to find out how we are interconnected down at this invisible level. And, you know, probably very few people do that, take the time to really explore that, but it becomes so important. And you also talk, you've said this multiple times about being present. And the same thing is kind of true in a way. People can, they may have an idea of what that means, and they can become more present in the moment. And it, for most people, though, that's very fleeting. You know, it takes training to learn how to stay present for long periods of time. And then if we can do that, we can truly begin to make a much greater difference in our own life and how we interact with the world. And again, so few people don't appreciate that. And I am so pleased that you're talking about this, because people need to hear this more and more. And we need to question these kind of ideas more. We question ourselves more and where we're at in the world and our place in the world. And it sounds like you've really done that a lot in your own life.
Yes. Yes. You know, Ray, I want to touch on a few things that you just mentioned, because I do think that they are super important. One is that sense of separation, that, you know, that's what we grew up, that's what we mostly experience. One of the things that I realized once when I was in my meditation practice was that understanding that even what I think that is separate, which is my body is not one thing. My body is made up of trillions of cells, of bacteria, of viruses. It's a whole community of beings that are part of this me. And when I understand that.
And also a whole bunch of sophisticated systems that are operating almost invisibly in our body as well. So, yeah, our bodies are incredible things.
Yeah.
And
that shows us, in a sense, that what we believe that might be a fixed one thing that is separate from others, it's actually not even that, which means that we're not even separate. We are actually living proof of community, and collaborative living, which is what can show us how we can be with other people, other cells. If we zoom out, then we're going to be those small cells that make up, just as our body is made up of these organisms. And, you know, when we're able to understand that, as you were just saying, we come with programming. Like, there's a program that, in a sense, is downloaded into our brain and our being when we are born, or however we believe that. The thing to understand with being present, which is key for us to be aware of things, is the fact that we need to unlearn. We all have the capacity to be present. We all have the innate capacity to be completely aware of things. We've just been taught these programs that are on top of that. And what we need to do a lot of times, and this is one of the things that I tell a lot of my students and my clients, we don't need to learn too much. We just need to unlearn. We need to unlearn and take out the veils that are preventing us from seeing the truth of who we are. And when we do that, we can be present. And this is the thing that I keep on telling everyone. We are not going elsewhere to seek for things, because the things are already within. When we understand that what we need to do is to just become more present, well, we are already present, but we are living on autopilot. Mostly in our society, we're living on autopilot unconsciously, and we are run by these programs and by these beliefs, instead of being able to consciously choose how we want to show up each moment, how we want to relate to others and to ourselves, how we want to do things. So a lot of times, this is what I talk a lot about, going from reacting to responding. When we understand that living on autopilot, we are reacting to life based on our tendencies and patterns of behaviors. And when we are able to become present, we're able to respond appropriately to situations and to life. This is huge for me. This has been huge on my own path and my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, and mm-hmm. what I think that we need more in the world.
Yes. So, again, you said something very important there about unlearning. And I totally agree. So, you know, is there any simple technique that you could share about, you know, a tip about how to unlearn some of that programming that we've built up over a lifetime?
Yes. I'll give you the two quickest, easiest ones, or more than easiest, simple ones, because sometimes we make things easier or harder than ourselves. The first one is literally creating space, whether that is 30 seconds, 1 minute, 5 minutes, is stopping fully and being able to be still. That gives us an understanding of being more connected, more present, and can lead us to the second one, which is questioning. Questioning our experience, questioning the thoughts that we have. When we're able to understand that our brain is categorizing and judging everything all of the time, can we question, where is that coming from? Can we question, is there another perspective? Can we question, is there another way? Why am I doing this? Who is saying this? You know, one of the questions that one of my teachers told me a long time ago was, anytime that I had thought, especially a judgment, is asking myself, who says that? Where is that coming from?
Right.
And that led me to unlearn, because then suddenly I started to create new neural pathways with time that allowed me to not automatically judge what was happening, and to be able to be with it and to understand it from a very different perspective. Those two things, the being able to create the space to be present and still. And, you know, like, this isn't about meditation or anything. This is literally just stay still for 30 seconds,
mm-hmm.
perhaps focus on your breath or focus on something, or focus on nothing, and ask yourself questions. Those are key.
Yes, thank you. That's beautiful. It's so simple, and I happen to know from my own learning experiences how important both of those are. Very important, very powerful, I hear many spiritual teachers talking about these things, and you know, and we could go on and talk about it a whole lot. But you're exactly right. If you explain that creating space begins by being still, you know, for as many seconds as you could be still, and you know, and 30 may be enough to shift you profoundly, and then to question what you're experiencing, or and ask questions, not necessarily directed at yourself, but directed at your higher power, your you know, some knowledge inside you that you might not readily tap into, you know, stop.
Yeah.
And you can only tap into it when you're still.
Yes, at the beginning, at least.
Yes. So thank you very much. Okay. Wow. You're throwing out so much that I want to respond to, but I'm trying to be a little bit focused here. I'm going to switch gears to a little bit of what you're doing right now. And then I want to come back to something that you've talked about on your website that I think needs a little bit of exploration. And I saw on your Conscious Action website that you have online courses. And just looking at those, just at the name and a very brief description, you know, what you're offering is fascinating. I love the diversity of what you're offering. And again, I've not dug into it in depth, but I have my own good ideas about what are probably within those courses. You know, things like, you know, finding balance, foundations for conscious living, embodied presence. And by the way, you know, that I've really been learning over the last, especially over the last year, in talking with a lot of guests that are really involved in energy work and somatic work, or not just focusing on the mind or thoughts, or not just focusing on awareness, but understanding the importance of our own body and what it means to have greater presence, and for me particularly, to have greater awareness of the what I'm feeling and the energy levels. And you've talked about all of those things already in what you've been talking about. But just going on, and you have a course called Nourishing Roots, which sounds fascinating. And I would have to do a little bit more guessing about what that gets into. Aligning head and heart, and what you don't learn at school. These are fantastic. And it's different than I've seen with a lot of spiritual coaches or energy coaches. You're doing some neat stuff, but do you want to say a few words about any of that?
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, one of the things that I realized through my own learning experiences in the last 20 years has been that I had a lot of different entryways for a lot of my own practices, you know, and a lot of different methodologies, a lot of different techniques, and an understanding that at the end of the day, we're a holistic being. We need to work on every single aspect of ourselves. And this is where some of these courses are coming from, you know, to be able to, on some of them, because, you know, each time when we are wanting to explore something, and it's an entryway, and it's, you know, like, we cannot just open an entire house. We need to open a door or a window to explore it. Mm-hmm. And this is where some of these courses, you know, some of them are focusing a little bit more, as you said, on the body, on our presence. Some of them are focusing more on energy of what came before, where we're coming from, how we are actually, you know, those roots of our being. Then an understanding on the importance of aligning our head and our heart. to understand that, you know, a lot of times we're living with a disconnect there. Some people are super heartless and other people are just very heady. Well, we're both. Those both are part of our experience. We're more than just that, of course, but those two are main parts of our being. And when we're able to understand that, you know, then we see, ah, you know, and this is the thing that I have seen through the years for myself and for a lot of people. Some people are going to be like, ah, this course or this teaching or this work or this wisdom, this is what I resonate with. And other people are going to go to the other one. So for me, as far as I can and I'm able to create things, I want to offer as much as possible so that people can do things in the way that works for them. And if they don't resonate with what I do, then there's plenty of other people doing amazing stuff as well. This is the thing, you know, like whether that is that some people like to take on an online course, something that they can do on their own time, at their own pace, or if they prefer to work as I do with many people, you know, like live and having live sessions, whether that is, you know, like mentoring, coaching, or that's a healing session. Different people, different things. And
yes,
there's this is what, you know, I try to convey with what I do, is that we're all different, we're all unique. And mm-hmm. what we need to understand is that, you know, if something worked for you,
yep.
that might work for me or might not.
Yes.
And if something works for me, that might work for you or might not. And the exploration and to be able to understand how we resonate with things and what, you know, like our intuition is telling us, oh, there's something there.
Right.
Or I resonate with this person or this the way that they are explaining it, because we all have our own truth. And we're
right.
part of the whole truth, but, you know, we have our own specific perspective on things.
Right.
And I have clear that, you know, I always say to everyone, I don't have the truth. I have my truth. And that keeps on changing as well. As I keep on changing,
sure.
that keeps on changing.
Yes.
So it's about for me to be able to support people in their path, to be there for them. Like I always tell a lot of my clients, you know, I don't promise them results. I promise them that I'm going to be there with them, guiding them, walking alongside them as they do the work that they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
What I can promise is to be there for them.
Yeah.
I cannot promise them what's going to happen to them. Like, there's been amazing things happening to the people that I have worked through the years, but that's their thing. They did that.
Right.
What I did was just being with them.
Yes. I love that. It's beautiful. I love your approach, and I love what you just said there. You know, you and I have very different backgrounds, upbringing, different life, and but one thing we do have in common, you know, quite a few years ago, well, in college, I became an atheist after a Catholic upbringing. And I was an atheist for many years. Then I had the spiritual awakening, an event that occurred that kind of woke me up. I need to do some real exploring of this world out there, this universe that's probably very different than I think it is. And so I did one thing very right, and that is I went about doing a spiritual exploration, seeking diverse ideas, diverse opinions, not locking into one religion or one spiritual teacher or one concept. Yeah, I wanted to look at what's going on in the world from as many different perspectives as I could and then draw some conclusions after that kind of exploration. And so that's very much what you're talking about. And I think it's, I would certainly recommend that to all the listeners. You know, look for diversity. Don't get rigid on life. Life invites so much learning and experience if we only are open to it, you know? And, you know, I think we all have a tendency to get into ruts, develop habits, and then we're driven by those habits. And so you're talking about ways of changing that, keeping
That's it.
ourselves open to
Yeah.
more experience.
And you know, Ray, one of the things that what you said that I think that it's important, one is what I mentioned before, you know, from a neuroscience perspective about neuroplasticity and creating like the new neural pathways. For me, change is the only variable that doesn't change. Change is what I want, but also, and this is one of the things that I share with a lot of people, I want sustainable change. I don't want change that I'm just going to revert back to my old way. I want something that is going to stay. And that means that something needs to click within me to be able to understand that what I know up until the moment might not be all that there is. And what I know might not be allowing me to live well. This is, you know, I tell a lot of times to people, why wait until you hit rock bottom to change? And I know a lot of people need that until they're able to create any actual change in their life. But if we know that there's a way of preventing all of that, can we actually create the changes that are going to lead us there? Can we allow ourselves to live well and not just to survive? Because unfortunately, majority of the population nowadays, what it's doing is surviving.
Right.
And when we are surviving, there's no space for actually living life to its fullest potential. There's no way of thriving if we are just in that place. And this is one of the things that I say a lot of times to people that I'm able to work with or speak to in the conferences or when, you know, like teaching at different places, is that we are really privileged people. What are we doing with our privilege? Or for our own life, not and for others as well, but for our own life, you know, if we're able to have access to different ways, to teachings, to different wisdoms, to different methodologies and techniques, if we're able to even just have this conversation as we're having now, that means, you know, like that we have electricity, we have internet, we have computers, we have so much already. And this is something that I don't take for granted. And this is something that, you know, like understanding that it's like, well, there's a bunch of people in the world, and a bunch, I mean, like a lot of people in the world, that they're completely in survival mode. And there's people that are in survival mode of their own making because of how they are living. You know, like they might have all of the means and all of the resources to do the things, but they are not stopping because they, you know, like that's what they know. And when we're able to point to the fact that, you're not living fully well, is there a different way? That's the question.
Yes. And a great question, too. And it's something that more of us need to, you know, we need to ask that question. What are we doing with our privilege? What are, I do believe that many, many people, and it might even, you know, I might even be able to say, you know, some relatively high percentage of people, like maybe 50%, I don't know, want to see change in the world and want themselves to make a difference in the world. But almost everyone shuts themselves down immediately by saying, I can't change anything in the world. What, you know, that's not going to be possible. And so it immediately gets dismissed. Mm-hmm. But it is something that we should raise more often. I think, you know, I think a really important thing in the world right now is to raise human consciousness. And I'm talking about getting out of being stuck in that belief of separation and everything we've been programmed to believe, and to become more aware, as you say, live consciously, living more in awareness of ourselves and of the world and of potential for change. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I love this conversation because we agree on so many points. And but thanks for telling us about what you do with your online courses. I love that. And you've got a lot of them out there too. So, and you know, I'd love to keep this conversation going, but I think this is a good point to probably bring it to an end. And so, again, I love what we've been talking about, and I'd love to have a whole lot of future conversations with you. But what would you say as your final words to the audience? And then tell them more about how to learn about what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, what's as you're asking that, what's coming in this moment is to tell everyone that we're all unique and we're all powerful, and we need to stop giving our power away. We need to reclaim our power back, and knowing that we do have everything that we need, and we are who we are seeking, that we can actually do the things that we want. And when we're able to realize that we are powerful, we can create the changes that we want to see in the world as well. And when enough of us, as you said before, when enough of us realize we are not the only ones around the world thinking this ways of wanting to create changes, then we're able to see how important each of us are. So that's what I wanted to say to everyone at this moment. And for anybody that is interested in anything of what I shared, they can find me through my name, Brian Berneman. That's brianberneman.com, or on social media, or through Conscious Action. That's consciousaction.co.nz as New Zealand, or Conscious Action NZ. But if they search for either of them, I'm going to be there.
Okay. And we didn't really take time to talk about this, but you have a podcast as well called Conscious Action Podcast. And
Yes.
I assume that in that podcast, you probably talk about a lot of the diverse things that you've mentioned. Is that true?
Yes, yes,
Yes.
yes. There's, I think, that 150 something episodes now, and I talk a lot about all of these topics. I share things from both spiritual perspectives, mental health perspectives, environmental perspectives, societal perspectives. So there's a lot of exploration on all of these topics that are related to conscious living.
Okay. And let me mention before I close, just so that the audience knows this, hopefully, audience, you check out my episode descriptions and then you can always see the guest's name, et cetera, website. But it's Brian Berneman that we've been talking with today, and it's Berneman. So that you have that and can find him more readily. And Brian, thank you again so much for being with us. This has been a lot of fun and very educational. And boy, I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. Thank you for the time, for the wonderful conversation, for your presence, and for all of the wonderful questions as well.
All right. Well, to you and my audience, have a great day and a great life.